Praise be Jesus in heaven. Today we celebrate the feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. I think that most, or if not all of you, have heard the story. Bernadette was a sickly and unlettered girl of 14 to whom Our Lady appeared at Lourdes, beginning on February 11, 1858. The place was the filthy grotto of Massabielle, overlooking the river, and the events would attract the attention of an ever broader area until it became known all over the Catholic world. Bernadette prayed the rosary with a mysterious lady whom only she saw, had ecstasies, and became a saint. In the 16th apparition on May 25th, Our Lady finally declared who she was. She said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." But why did she choose to appear there and then? The explanation might be in the earlier history of this place. A medieval document tells us that in the time of Charlemagne there was a Saracen fortress there called Mirambel. The emir who commanded it had sworn to Allah that he would never have yielded it to any man. Charlemagne besieged the fortress, and food had begun to run short in it. Then a miracle led to negotiations between the emir and the Bishop of Puy, who represented Charlemagne. The bishop told the emir that if he would surrender, accept baptism, and swear fealty to Charlemagne, he could keep his authority over the area. But the emir had sworn to never yield to any man and would not break his oath. The bishop saw a sign in the miracle that the Mother of God was beginning to answer the prayers of the Christians, and he made a daring proposal. "If you will not yield to any man, yield to a woman. Swear fealty to Our Lady of Puy and become her knight." Touched by grace, the emir accepted the proposal, saying, "I surrender my arms and everything that belongs to me to the Mother of the Lord, to Our Lady of Puy, and I agree in her honor to make myself a Christian and become her knight. But I intend to commit myself freely, and I want my county to be hers alone, either for myself or for my descendants." The bishop took a handful of grass from the meadow where they were speaking and replied, "Don't you want to give anything as a sign of homage to the Mother of God? At least offer her these blades of grass to show that you are becoming her vassal." He agreed. The idea was that he would give her something from the place in order to show that it belonged to her. The bishop took the agreement back to the king, who accepted it. So Murat and all his soldiers, putting garlands of hay on the shafts of their lances as a sign of submission of the place, went to the shrine of Our Lady of Puy, where they offered them in honor of the Mother of God. Murat obtained the title of knight for himself and for his children. He received at baptism the name of Lourdes. All his goods were given back to him, and he took possession of Mirambel again. He then named the fortress Lourdes after himself, and from this came Lourdes. This would have been in 778 AD. Since the story of these events was written down almost 2.5 centuries later, some would dismiss them as legendary. But what is certain is that at least as far back as 1062, there are documents that show the counts of the place recognized themselves as vassals of Our Lady of Puy, to whom they gave tribute annually. So at least from that time, it was a fief of Our Lady. When Lourdes passed to the King of France, to the kings of France in 1307, they continued to bring tribute every year until the French Revolution. Then the king was decapitated, the shrine desecrated, and the statue of Our Lady of Puy was burned in the public square. For centuries, one day and one night every year, a Marian banner had flown in place of the king's flag over the castle of Lourdes, in recognition of the fact that it was a fief and dominion of Our Lady of Puy. When the Bourbons were restored to power in 1815, they reopened the shrine and recognized the ancient rights of the shrine over the town in the Pyrenees, of the town of Lourdes. But in 1830, the Bourbon king, Charles X, was deposed. And the new king, Louis-Philippe, was not much for religion. He abolished all of the monarchy's obligations to the church, including the tribute for Lourdes. So 1829 was the last time that a delegation departed from Lourdes and, in accord with ancient custom, brought to the altar of Our Lady of Puy flowers gathered in front of the castle as a sign of vassalage. Now, according to the law, the power of a lord over a place would cease if 30 years passed without the obligations stipulated in the act of submission being fulfilled. 30 years from 1829 is 1859. So in that year, Mary's dominion over Lourdes would have been lost, at least according to French law, if she hadn't done anything to vindicate it, to defend it. Certainly she would still be queen of heaven and earth in whatever French law said, but Mary is not one to ignore details. She's the one who notices that the wine is beginning to run out at the wedding of Cana. So in 1858, she appeared in the grotto of Massabielle, and in the 11th apparition, gave an order, tell the priests that a chapel must be built here. She repeated this in the 14th apparition, and added that they were to come there in procession. The chapel eventually became a basilica, and it is across the river from the castle on which her flag had flown for centuries, but that castle was now under the control of a secular government that no longer wished to do her homage. So she ordered the construction of a new place to do her homage, and a procession to express that homage. It would be quite natural for this procession, at least at the beginning, to take some flowers from that area and bring them in procession, as had been done for centuries. The statue of Our Lady of Puy had been burned, but she would receive homage by means of a new statue, which happens to be sculpted out of Carrara marble, and so it cannot be burned. So while the main reason Our Lady appeared at Lourdes was to call for penance and to bring healing to bodies and souls, by choosing that particular time and place, it seems that she was also defending her rights as they had been recognized in law. So we see in the first reading also tribute being brought to Jerusalem, which is in one sense the church, but in another sense is Our Lady in particular, Our Lady who is the model of the church or the type of the church. And so it speaks about these treasures, all the treasures of the world being brought to her, and treasures showing homage, so showing reverence. This is what we must do. We must bring treasures to Our Lady. We must acknowledge her as our queen and show our sincerity in acknowledging her as our queen by avoiding sin and by loving God and neighbor. Let us bring her the tribute of our love. Let us bring her the tribute of our faith and our hope and of the good deeds that we do for our neighbor. Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.